I'm Jimbo Paris, and you are listening to the Jimbo Paris Show. All right, welcome everyone. This is Jimbo Paris. Welcome to the Jimbo Paris Show. And today we have Mike Conrad, founder and CEO of Aqueous Technology. I'm excited to learn about him. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, Jimbo. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, man? How you doing?
I am well on this Saturday afternoon. Things you can't be doing too bad on a Saturday. I was going to say I've had short interviews before, but that was the fastest. How you doing? Then you get up and walk away.
Oh yeah, my record. Mic is all the way over there, so I had to run over.
No worries, man. No worries. Well, thanks for inviting me on your show. I watched several episodes and I love your content. It's very insightful and inspiring.
Excellent, excellent. So, but this show's about you though. So can you kind of tell me specifically who you are?
Well, I'm Mike Conrad, as you mentioned. I refer to myself as a reluctant entrepreneur. I am by definition an entrepreneur because people who kind of go off on their own and march to the beat of their own drummer and start a company. My story is not typical business book that tells you all the things you should do right. It took a long time to learn that bring in new skills or acquire new skills, you know, hire new skills, whatever the case may be, because 75% of all businesses in the U.S. fail. That's 25 out of 100 that survive. Why is that? Because they all make the same mistakes. They're playing from the same book, fall into the same trap. And you have to think very differently to avoid those traps.
What kind of funding did you get when you were starting your business? Where did that money come from?
I went to the least likely person, and that was my dad. So I thought, well, you know, doesn't hurt. I'll kick myself if I don't ask. But I know the answer will be no, but I need to check it off the list. So I shared my business plan with him. And at that time, I asked for $35,000. I pitched him on the business and business idea. And he said, okay, well, let me talk to your mother and we'll get back to you in a few days. So I'm like, okay. So a few days later, your mother and I have talked about it. And we don't think it would be a wise idea to loan you $35,000. And I'm like, my concession speech is already there. I'm like, oh, I totally get it, Dad. Thanks. And he goes, we're going to give you 70. Because we ran the numbers and we think 35 is about half as much as you need. You're going to need 70. So I thought, okay, we're in. We're guaranteed. And then we started licking our wounds and building the company. And that's what we've done over the last 30 years is we built the company kind of out of the ashes. The company started very quickly. And I'm grateful now, looking back. I'm grateful for the lawsuit. It made me smarter. It made me wiser. It made me do things that I would not do because I would be afraid to ask customers for terms like that. It taught me a lot of lessons. If we didn't get sued, I don't know if we would have been hard enough to survive all the other recessions and pandemics and terrorist attacks. We survived that. We were battle-hardened and we were wiser. And then you get older. I'm 62 now. I started the company when I was 31. So half my life has been in this company. So you get wiser. You either go out of business or you get smart. Another thing I learned, Jimbo, was there's a seduction of growth. All your business colleagues, you know, ask you, what's your growth plan? How much are you going to grow? We were seduced by that. You know, we got to grow. Build the best machine we can. Service the customers the best we can. Best in the industry. Best in class. And if growth is meant to happen, growth will come out of that. Build something right. Make a difference in the world. You have to be bigger than yourself. Your mission has to be bigger than you. You have to make the world a better place. You have to change the world. So I believe if you have the giant goal in mind and you do it right, treat your people well, you treat your customers well, you build the best-in-class equipment, profit and growth are a result of that. So you just have to just trust that there's some business god out there that makes it right. I believe that when everything is in order, there is abundance. You have everything you need. When you do things right, there is abundance. And abundance means you can pay your bills. Abundance means you can grow if you need to grow. Abundance means you're surrounded by smart people, abundance of talent, abundance of wisdom, whatever you need at that moment. For that to happen, I had to hang up my ego. At some point, you have to let go of those startup traits and substitute them with more business savvy traits. The growth comes at the right time. When you're ready for the next stage of growth, then the skill sets come and the money comes at its own unique timing. Jimbo, have you ever driven a manual transmission car?
No.
Younger people generally haven't had that experience, but you know, I grew up on stick shift. So you had a clutch, you had first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear, fifth gear. You had to move them all manually. The skills required to start a company are your first gear in a car. First gear, you can't go more than about 20 miles an hour in first gear. And you're revving. You're going, you know, your tachometer is up at 7,000, you know, doing 20 miles an hour because you're in this super, super, super low gear. That's the skills required to start a company. Highly leveraged. Can't go far with it, but you can certainly get it started. You can't start a car in fifth gear. So you can't start with all the skills. The skills required to start a business, naivety, ego, arrogance, ignorance, poor assessment of risk, all those skills are great to start a company. They're your first gear. But you can't drive past the other end of the intersection in first gear or you'll burn up your car. You have to shift to second. And second is a different set of skills. And then you can't go too far in second gear. You have to shift to third. And then you have to shift to fifth. And the car I drive right now, which is an automatic, it's a 10-speed automatic. There's 10 gears in there. That's a lot of different gears. But each one has a purpose. Each one has the right ratio of the right gear ratio for that speed. And that's very similar in business. You just have to shift to the next skill set and let the other one go. If your company fails and you have to start all over, you know, bring back first gear and open up that ego. Welcome them back, right? And the arrogance and all that. But at some point, you have to let that stuff go. You have to shift those gears and those mindsets and those skill sets. You know what your skills are and get out of the way and bring in people who have the skills that are required.
Yeah. You know, and again, that's extremely tough because, you know, you have to kind of set aside that ego because, you know, if you're a capable person, you could be like, oh, I could do this all on my own. I don't need any help.
That's what is unique about entrepreneurs. They look at a glass, you know, you talk about the difference between a pessimist and an optimist. A pessimist sees the glass as half empty. An optimist sees the glass as half full. Both are correct. But an entrepreneur sees an opportunity to fill the glass more. Entrepreneurs look at the same set of risks and see them completely differently. The idea that one should continue to take risks beyond the first year in business equal to the original risk someone took is preposterous. I think that's dangerous.
I think this goes into the next thing. You mentioned risks and all those other things. You know, what were some of the specific challenges you had once you started and you were beginning to grow your business?
We had competitive challenges because when a competitor comes on board, the mindset is to put them out quickly before they get a foothold. If they find out you have a tiny little cancer cell, they'll bomb it with radiation and chemo, you know. So we were on that end of the battle. People in our industry kind of knew who I was, but not that much. So when you start a company and you have no track record, bringing money in is always an issue. Changing the mindset of the buyer is a constant issue. We kind of had to set our own trends. And then building the credibility, building the legitimacy. And now, you know, I produce podcasts where I talk about reliability. So I talk about everything except what I do. I don't even think I mention what I do, the company I own, on the podcast. So the challenge was going to that mindset.
Yeah.
Because you got to shed a lot of other habits and other mindsets to get to that point. And that's not easy.
So speaking of that shedding process, you know, when your business was struggling the most, what exactly inspired you to keep going?
When bad things happen, good things come out of it. We need to move this direction. We're no longer here. We're now here. It just takes time for challenges to become rewards.
What advice would you give to sort of new budding entrepreneurs?
When I started speaking, don't let imposter syndrome get under your skin. You might question yourself. You got to be a little bipolar to be an entrepreneur because part of you is like all ego. There's nothing you can't do wrong. And then part of you is questioning everything you do, right? And that's you questioning everything you do. So there's bravado and ego, and then there's insecurity kind of all rolled up into this entrepreneur thing. So don't let that get you. Be aware that you don't know what you don't know. There's a lot of things you don't know, and that's okay because you don't want to know those out of sequence. You want to know those when it's time to know those things. So just be open. Just be open to learning. Always be learning, right? Do one thing. Be the best in the world at it. Don't be everything to everybody. If you're going to build a product, if you can truly justify that this is the best-in-class product, then go for the best-in-class price. There are people willing to pay that. It's not everybody. It's not the masses. But it doesn't matter because you'll have enough sales and enough profit margin that you'll be a very healthy company, maybe a little smaller than your middle-of-the-road competitors. But that's okay. It's not a game of size. It's a game of savvy and security. And so be comfortable smaller. Smaller is sometimes better. Less is sometimes more. No is sometimes better than yes. Those things you just have to be open to receiving if you're ever challenged with that. That would be my basic advice. And just keep going. Live and breathe it. Live and breathe it. Make time for family, because you're going to need your family to support you when things aren't good, and they won't be, and they will be, and then they won't be again. It's a cycle. But just keep going at it. Just be the best in the world. And while you're at it, try and do something good for the world. Try and make it your business mantra to change the world somehow, even in a tiny little way that doesn't even matter a whole lot. It does matter. And if you have a goal bigger than yourself, I think it just lubricates the gears a little bit. For reasons who knows? I can hypothesize all the reasons in the world, but I would probably sound strange. So I think do right by the world. Do right by your customer. Do right by your team. And the business universe will do right with you. It just happens. It's kind of a law. As crazy as that sounds, I've lived it. And people I know have lived it. And it works. It's not science. It's universal law. And I know that I don't mean that to sound in a religious way or a, spiritual way. Take it that way if you want, but I that's not the way I'm meaning it. I'm meaning it's just one of those truths. Drop a rock, it falls to the ground. That's gravity. Gravity is a universal law. And these are universal laws as well. But we tend to not apply them because, they're not taught in science school. But they do work. Any entrepreneur who's been successful can tell you they work.
Excellent way to end this off. Mr. Conrad, this has been an amazing, in-depth interview.
Well, I appreciate the topics that you bring up. I'm glad you reached out.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
How'd you get into this side of the business? Okay, we'll turn the tables. This is the Mike Conrad Show, talking to Jimbo Paris.
I think it was just passion. I wanted to be a content creator, and I wanted to start creating a blueprint sort of on how to be a person that can conduct these amazing types of interviews. It's definitely taken some time, some consistency, but I want to kind of create a business. Well, I have a business now where I make videos, I sell content for other podcasters to maybe make their journey easier than mine.
That's great. Yeah.
I think it was just the passion,
Yeah. In our industry, there are a few podcasters in our industry, but woefully not enough, and which is really ironic because we're in the high-tech industry. We build the tech. We build everything you use to make a podcast. That comes out of us, right? Anything electronic, we build. And even though we are at the tip of the spear from a technology standpoint because we build and design the tech, we don't use the tech as much as we should. And I'm a huge fan of podcasts, and particularly in this genre, in business and tech. Well, I'm glad you did it. That was a good move. And we just had our 100th episode just a few weeks ago. So you're almost there. 7 more episodes. You have to have a big celebration.
All right. Appreciate it, Mike. Really has been a privilege.
Yeah, same here, Jimbo. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Just to end off this show, we're going to do a few little shout outs. First of all, it's Judy Ryan, CEO of LifeWork Systems. She's our collaborative partner, and her goal is to go into big businesses and transform the infrastructure to make it more social, make it more connected, and therefore improving the entire business. And then also, we have got a YouTube channel up there. Subscribe to us now. We're growing in subscribers more and more. We need that support. And then finally, down below, we also are available on the Roku channel. This will be on Roku TV as well as all of our other shows, and you can watch it there. All right. I'm Jimbo Paris, and this is the Jimbo Paris Show. Thanks again. Thank you for listening to the Jimbo Paris Show.